Turn it up.
Woo!
That's not loud enough.
It's loud to them, just not to us.
That's better.
Holy moly, there's some stuff going on. We're back!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Blowhole on Binsider Radio.
Yeah!
It's been a little while. We're a little excited. We're getting over... Well, Rob's getting over being sick. We both went on some business trips as well, so we missed some time.
Too much time.
But we are back.
Back.
We are back. And we want to remind you...
That we're back.
We are back. And we also have a Twitter account. It's called... at T Blowhole on Twitter. And we have an email account that some of you are using, which is great. It is the Blowhole Radio, all one word, at gmail.com. That's the Blowhole Radio.
So we will answer some questions
at
and get into some of the the interactions
that we've had in the past
coming up.
Couple weeks, which has been great. So thanks you,
English speaking people.
Thanks you, everyone, for emailing us.
But we're back. You were in California. I was in Chicago. I was in Baltimore. There was way too much work going on. Baltimore got me sick as a dog. I got probably whatever funk chased Joe Flacco out of town. It's freezing in both of those places. Snowed in both of those places. I'm glad to be back.
It was not freezing in California. I was in San Francisco. It was cold, but you know, not freezing. Nice weather. Nice people. Good food. Always. Good times.
You know what those three places have in common? Terrible football
teams.
Terrible
football.
None of them have Dolphins.
Yes. No, they didn't get any Dolphins in free agency. So, speaking of free agency, we're going to kick everything off by talking about what's happened in free agency in the past week or so, and then some of the moves the Dolphins have made since the last time we spoke. We thought there'd be some cuts and some casualties, and they did in fact happen. So,
and let me just for any of our listeners out there who are a little bummed out that the Dolphins aren't making big moves, and you're not all excited like the Browns are,
or the Jets fans, or the Raider fans.
Remember,
those are the Browns, Jets, and Raiders.
Well, not just that. You never see the Pats make big splashes on day one of free agency. Like this is not how you rarely. Winning teams rarely make the big... We're usually ones making big splashes.
It reeks of desperation, which is what we normally do.
So we lost some guys, but we lost guys that got paid way too much. So good for them. Go make your money. God bless you. Thank you for playing. We'll get into some of them we love a lot more than others. Should we just talk about Cam already?
Yeah, we'll do That's Cameron. Sad. He deserves it. We'll do Cameron first. So Cam Wake was one of my all-time favorite Dolphins. I don't know about you. I'm sure most of our listeners would agree. Just a phenomenal outside linebacker when he signed, and later in his career switched to a rushing end and when we went back to a 4-3. Signed from the Canadian Football League, we won there was a kind of a bidding war for his services when he was entering the NFL. He was... I believe 2-time Defensive Player of the Year in the Canadian Football League before joining the Miami Dolphins at, I think, age 25 is when he signed with us. He was the Sperano era is when he signed, and he was signed as an outside linebacker. Didn't start or play all that much his first season. That was Jason Taylor and Joey Porter were the outside linebackers then. But it was his second season, I think, is when he broke out. And then the most sacks in the NFL since 2010, I believe, from active players, I believe.
Yeah, monster.
Maybe overall, but just a great, great player. Great to watch him play. Seemed like an even better teammate and locker room presence as
good
well.
Good dude.
Like, yeah. So solid. Never got arrested for anything.
You know what? I know that shouldn't be the bar because he's way higher than that bar, right? He's not just
he's not just
a didn't get arrested. He just literally seemed like a very good dude.
Yeah. Yes.
So I don't have any cool anecdotal stories because I've never met him, and anything would be hearsay. But let's just make it up. There was that time he saved my nephew from a burning building.
Oh, that's right.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, well, it was important to me, because I got to meet Cam.
Yeah, was that the year he tore his Achilles tendon, right? So he was on crutches when he did that.
Well, one of the crutches was on fire, but yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, anyway, we're definitely going to miss Cameron Wake. He was, he's one of the ones, too, like, I was talking to somebody who was like, oh, man, now I have a Cameron Wake jersey that's going to... That's an all-timer. That's like a Dan Marino or Zach Thomas or Jason Taylor.
You can wear that Cam jersey and be fine.
Here's an interesting thing. So if, and I don't know if these count. I mean, it is the Canadian Football League is professional football. So,
oh, you're talking about Hall of Fame?
Yeah. Like, do you think, I mean, he was transcendent for the time period. Since 2010, that's about 10 years, you know, to have the most sacks in the NFL for a 10-year period, for a decade. He didn't plan any, unfortunately. One playoff appearance, I think, for Cameron Wake.
I blacked out.
Yeah, thanks.
Not on what you were saying on our playoff history.
Yeah, I think only the one, right?
Was that the Steelers?
Because Philbin never made it. Yeah, Gase made it, and I think he signed on with the Sperano team the year after they made the playoffs. So I don't think there were any just the one playoff appearance for Cameron Wake, which is unfortunate. I wish him all the luck in the world. He did sign with Tennessee. I know we skipped that part. I'm sure he'll be a situational pass rusher for that team. I think they play a 3-4, don't they? Because it's Vrabel that coaches them. I believe they play a 3-4 defense. I might be wrong about that. So he would be doing...
He's rushing the passer. It doesn't matter. Again, it doesn't matter how many of whatever. He could be playing cornerback. He's the guy blitzing. I mean, he's running after the quarterback. That's his job.
Yep.
And he's good at it.
He's very good at it. He will be missed. Good luck to him in Tennessee, though. And I'm sure he'll play well. I'm sure he'll, you know, he was among the PFF Pro Football Focus stats for pass rushers. I think he was in the top five of the league last year as well in terms of QB hurry percentage rate or something like that, which means when he was in there and rushing the passer, he was getting pressure almost every play. So good luck, Cam. Best of luck to you. And I guess the next biggest loss would be Juwan James. He was the starting right tackle last year.
Before we get there, just to say, because obviously love Cam, but there was no reason for this team to give him 3 years and $23 million.
Oh, absolutely not. And yeah.
So I'm glad he's getting it. This team probably isn't going anywhere during his next one or two years of relevance. So let him go play for a team, you know, that's got a shot of making a playoff push and whatever. It's good for him. Not going to boo him. Not mad. I'm not going to root against him. He's, you know, and first of all,
I'm sure honestly, he wanted to stay too.
That's the thing. Like when guys are like, you can't be mad at a player when the team doesn't really try to, to keep them.
Yeah. He was not in the plans for this team moving forward, which is, it is fine. I mean, I believe it's time to move on. And it's time to start actually rebuilding this team.
And oddly enough, that South is all of a sudden like it's like a good division. It's not, I mean, the Colts are good. Houston's good. And now you got the Jags and Titans are capable. They're like those, you know, they could be, we don't know where they're going. They're on that cusp. They could collapse, but they could make a playoff run. So all of a sudden that's not like that cakewalk division. It's been forever.
Yes. So listeners, I, as you are well aware that, Rob and I are both Madden players. I'm just finished simulating the upcoming season. So I did the draft and free agency and all that and kind of rebuilt the Dolphins in what I think is going to happen or what they should do. And I finished that so that the upcoming season was the season I just finished. And the AFC South, all of those teams, three of them finished 9-7 and one of them finished 8-8 in that Madden simulation I did.
See that? Take it to the bank.
Yeah. So that just shows that they're all competitive for the most part. I mean, it is a pretty competitive division.
Yeah. No, I mean it's been a laughing stock for
yeah, but
a
no,
long
even
time.
Even last year, I mean, you had three of those teams were right up to the last week and two of them made the playoffs, and then the one that didn't was the Jaguars and they were in the AFC title game the year before. So yeah, and they've made some noise in free agency as well. So let's continue with our Dolphins in free agency. So
yes,
the next player, the next best player that they lost was Juwan James,
who I would have loved to have kept talent-wise,
young
but
player,
I would never want to give him that salary.
No, yeah, have fun in Denver. Congratulations to Juwan James.
And
again,
thank you for the third-round compensatory pick we're likely to get.
Both he and Wake, if the Dolphins continue to not be big players in free agency, should yield some compensatory picks because they played a vast majority of the snaps last year. James played,
and signed,
I think,
100% big contracts.
Of,
it also, yeah, there's like three pieces. It's the contract, And because I looked this up, I'm not smart. Yeah. There's like the, it's the contract they sign.
I'm not smart either, but I actually knew this.
Like how much playing time they had, and it's playoffs. Like if there was like playoff playing time or playoff accolade, like good stats in the playoffs, all add into that. Obviously, we didn't have any
playoffs.
Exactly, we're talking about playoffs. But those guys should actually rack something up, and I don't see us being huge spenders. In free agency.
Nope. Yeah, we'll get to that as well, or what we think is going to happen. So after Juwan James, the next one was Danny Amendola cut. No surprise there. I believe they saved some cap money by releasing him. I believe they recouped all of that salary. I think it was $6 million. It was a cap number of $6 million. And he was cut, and then he went on to sign with the Lions. There will be no draft pick compensation for that since he was a cut and not a free agent. But I am okay with that one as well. I thought maybe they might keep him because of the Patriot ties. It sounded like there was some familiarity there, but honestly, I don't see a place for him on this team.
So it's kind of funny because obviously Detroit,
not a rebuilding team.
Detroit is the other like New England trying, you know, coaching tree team and trying to sort of bringing in. They're not.
They
trying
signed
to
a do, lot of Patriots.
They signed a lot of Patriots also, and but I this is where the Homer in me comes out because I look at them and I'm like, the Trey Flowers deal wasn't bad. It was a lot of money, but I think he's good, and it's more than he's worth. But he's
I
a good player.
No part of that. I'm shaking my head. The
okay,
audience can't
but
see
I don't think that's terrible. I'm not saying like, oh crap, we should have done that. But
no.
That's true, because they make guys do that in New England. They leave and they just, you know, they can manufacture pass rush. And but okay, but either way,
no part of that.
I'm laughing. Like, I look at all the things they do and I'm like, you're terrible. You can't. You're just signing terrible Patriots and you don't know what you're doing. And then I'm like, we're signing good Patriots. Like, somehow when we do it, I think it's okay. When Flores and our guys are doing it, I'm like, yeah, we're trying something new.
We're going to get into what our guys are doing, but we're going to go through all the cuts first. All right. So, yeah, Amendola goes up to Detroit. He didn't really get... I don't know. I mean, he was fine. I think he caught like 59. He was probably their leading receiver, but yeah, I mean,
at this point, he's just in the way of your boy, Devontae Parker.
We'll get to that. We're not there yet.
Excited. All right. I can go. Too. So I'm looking at this fantastic Finsider Dolphins free agent updated page here, so we can kind of go in order and gloss over the ones we don't care about just so we don't miss anybody.
No, that's good. I mean, I'm going by the ones that like the biggest names. Like, yeah. I think I'm going in order. I think I didn't forget anybody from that's
but
bigger
I think
than
you
Amendola,
talked about
right?
The ones we need. I think the ones we kind of needed to talk about, the big ones. There's
well, no, I mean, there's other ones that they got a lot of cap savings from, so those would be that's what I was going to get into right now. So Amendola saved them $6 million.
Yep.
Andre Branch, was that his name?
Yes, it was.
Andre Branch cut. He had the deal he got was way too large, but they cut him and they saved about $8 million by cutting him, which is, I mean, he was a rotational pass rusher. He was good in his first season here, but after getting the contract extension, he was marginal at best. So he is gone. Another play, and I don't really think he's going to fit the scheme that they're going to want to run anyway, so... best of luck to him, but not going to be missed. Next one, Josh Sitton played all of one game for us last year. He was cut. I think a cap savings.
We won that game, though.
We did. About $5 million by cutting him, and he'll most likely go to New York, the Jets, from what I hear, because we know why.
AG?
Yep. And then Daniel Kilgore was the center that was cut. I believe he saved them about $3 million. I think he also played only one or two games for us last year. Ted Larson was a rotational backup offensive lineman who ended up playing a lot. He had the big block that sprung the Miami Miracle way downfield. He'll always be remembered for that in my mind. But also, I think a cap savings of a couple million by letting him go as well.
And he signed back with the Bears. He's back the Bears, but didn't he play for the Bears before? Sign him from
the
Bears?
Oh, did he already go back?
Yeah, he signed with the Bears.
Okay. So did I forget anybody that was cut?
I know
Brendel was non-tendered. So Jake Brendel's a backup offensive lineman who was non-tendered. Carew was also non-tendered, and I like Leonte Carew, but he will most likely not be back. Mike Hall was another one who I liked, restricted free agent who was not tendered, so they can that makes them unrestricted free agents, right?
If I think so, at some point if you're not tendered yet, yeah. And I think already like that part has passed.
Yeah, so Hall was a core special teams guy, backup linebacker. Every time he was on the field, he seemed like he was near the ball or making plays. So, anyway, I like those core special teams guys, and maybe they could bring him back for the cheap. But I don't know. I guess we'll see. Carew most likely not coming back. That was a wasted draft pick, and they traded a draft pick to move up to get him as well. So that was a Gase faux pas, I suppose. Never really panned out. He might get an opportunity elsewhere. I thought I saw some promise from him. Seemed like a decent wide receiver, so maybe getting some playing time somewhere else will do him some good. Other than that, no Miami Dolphins have been, no other ones lost that I can think of.
Well, Brandon Bolden has signed with the Patriots.
Yep, Brandon Bolden. I liked him, but not really. Again. Frank Gore. Derp. Yep. Frank Gore, unrestricted free agent. Oh, I wonder if they'll get any compensation for him as well, because he played a majority of the snaps on offense signed a pretty decent sized deal with Buffalo. I mean, not huge, but
I mean, it might be something, but it's not like that third round. I mean, that's guys.
No, but it could
be
like a fifth or. Yeah. I mean, he was their starting running back last year.
That's true. Had a lot of carries. Probably too many.
Yep. Yeah. Very highly rated by Pro Football Focus. Okay, so that is it, I believe, things that have happened.
Well, as far as cuts. We tendered, do you want to talk about the re-signings?
Yeah, that's the next step.
All right.
So, the big free agent free signing so far.
Well, the own guys. Do you want to talk about the own guys?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Or as opposed to the big
No, I was really excited about the news.
All right, go.
So Dwayne Allen, second string tight end, inline blocking tight end for the New England Patriots for the last couple seasons, did have some good pass catching seasons in Indianapolis. I think people might forget that. But over the last three seasons, I believe he's caught like two passes.
You saw him. Yeah, it's been like ridiculous.
Signed for $7 million and I believe 2 years, maybe 3 year deal. But I know it's probably backloaded. Like, it's probably not a huge cap number. Locker room guy, I'm sure they're bringing him in because he knows the system, is a good blocker. The Dolphins clearly are not happy with that tight end room because they also brought in Clive Walford, former Miami Hurricane, who was, I believe, a pretty high draft pick by the Oakland Raiders and never panned out. I think he played in New York for a little while. Receiving tight end, supposed to be that seam threat type of guy. Had some decent years with Carr out in Oakland, but nothing to write home about. And I think he's more of a camp body. I don't know if he's a lock to make the team, maybe push Gesicki, hopefully. But they also have, they had a pretty decent tight end room before bringing those guys in, I thought. Mike Gesicki, Durham Smythe, who were both draft picks last year, and then Nick O'Leary, who we both really liked as a good blocker and a decent receiver. So pretty full tight end room. Maybe they're thinking they can switch some of these guys to offensive line to fill some of the holes.
Just the A.J. Derby is an unrestricted free agent that we have not re-signed. I mean, he seemed to be...
I'm sure Adam Gase will sign him.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like he every time, like, oh, is that all... Like, he had a couple big catches, a touchdown in one of the early games. And I mean, like, literally a couple.
I remember. And then he'd get hurt. But Gase loves him. I believe he's followed Gase pretty much everywhere he's gone. So the Dolphins, regime seems to love tight ends.
Very important. I can't believe you have...
I'm not there yet. I know exactly what you're going to talk about. I'm not there yet.
To go there now.
Well, no, there's one other free agent signing, Eric Rowe, another former New England Patriot at cornerback, before the big news, which is one of my favorite Miami Dolphin players, Devontae Parker, who everybody
that's not what I was talking about.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh, well. Let me. I'm already talking about it, so let me go.
All right, but it's not as important as our long snapper.
Oh, Denny?
Yeah.
They brought him back?
Oh, yeah.
That guy's awesome. Anyway, Devontae Parker, yes. So restructured his deal. Everybody had him left for dead as a cap casualty. He was scheduled, his fifth-year option, which was picked up by the team, was $9.3 million against the cap unless they cut him. They did not cut him. They restructured. A two-year deal, I believe, in the $11 million range, where it's basically a one-year prove-it deal because I think it's only going to count like $3.5 to $4 million against the cap, which is a steal if he actually produces.
Yeah.
So I think he's been a...
You can buy that jersey.
Yeah, I can finally get that 11 jersey with confidence. Not really. But I do think the guy has all the talent in the world, and this isn't going to be another Deion Jordan diatribe. I think there's been some circumstance around him that has been not self-inflicted, like no substance abuse or drug issues or anything like that. Seems that he has a bit of an injury history, as we're all well aware. He seems soft, doesn't seem to fight for the ball. Hasn't had a lot of opportunity, I will say. In the Gase era, he didn't really get a lot of opportunity. He seemed to produce a little bit more in the Philbin era, but he was hurt a lot. So I don't know. I'm thinking with the new coaching staff, they're obviously showing some faith in him. He's the only wide receiver in that room that has any size. He's big and he's fast, and he makes phenomenal catches when he tries to catch the ball.
Wow.
He also drives you insane.
Because he doesn't try.
Because he doesn't always try to catch the ball. There are certain plays where it looks like he is completely lost. Again, maybe they can coach him up. Maybe this is scheme. If they get a decent quarterback in there who can get him the ball, I think that'll play into it. He was at his best when Tannehill was pushing the ball downfield and giving him shots. The one game where he had a really good game against Houston this year, that was when Osweiler was trying to get him the ball downfield. And he was, you know, he was making some plays. So we'll see.
Gosh, I mean, I can't believe I even let you just go on that. I'm just like, oh my God, he's still
is
talking
actually
about him.
A pretty, is a pretty good, I think that's a pretty good deal for the team.
Okay. Right here. Let's,
and I'm not even that drunk right now.
We don't even put that many bets on here, but so it's a 2-year deal. It's really like a 1-year prove it deal. This time next year, going into the 2020 season or 2020,
yep,
whatever.
Going into the 2020 season.
Is he on the team or not?
Yes.
No, he's not.
No?
No, I say this is his prove it year, and
he fails to prove it.
He proves me right.
One of the things that was interesting, and as we're starting to get into like Dolphin speculation in free agency.
I want to know what besides the fact that you're tired of hearing us talk about Devontae Parker, I would like to know what you guys out there think about Parker. Are you still tantalized by his
upside
as James Radio is, or are you just so tired of it? You're just like, it's like that hot girlfriend where you're just like, you know what? The crazy's too much. Go bang all my friends. I don't care anymore. Cause I'm the crazy's too much for me. I'm done. I'm going to run. If he's great, fine. I'd be ecstatic. I'm just not expecting it.
Just with the amount of leash they gave Tannehill, I think he's, you know, I think Parker's earned a little bit more.
All right. Well, I need a drink. Let's take a little break.
We'll come back and finish our free agency diatribe.
Twitter at @tblowhole.
Capital T.
Oh, God, you're gonna make me curse, and I don't think we're allowed to do that. theblowholeradio@gmail.com.
Yes, that's all lowercase and all one word.
All right. Well, actually, and maybe after the break, we'll get into some of your guys' thoughts on this. But keep giving us your thoughts on Twitter or the email, and definitely let me know what you think about Parker, because maybe I'm the only one. Maybe you guys.
No, I'm
maybe
sure
you're
many of them hate Devontae Parker. And we're back. So we were talking about Devontae Parker leading into the break, so it's a good segue into some of the other like speculation about the Dolphins and free agency. So we learned today that Teddy Bridgewater decided to stay in New Orleans to be the backup and maybe get some assurances there that he is the heir apparent to Drew Brees and the Saints. He'd rather stay there than get, you know, a 1-year bridge quarterback deal with the Miami Dolphins. He did come down. He was in Miami last night, so that would be the 13th of March that he was in Miami visiting the Miami Dolphins. Teddy Bridgewater is a Miami native. He played high school in Miami. He grew up in Miami. Big Miami Dolphin fan, from what I understand, as a child growing up. But decided that the Saints opportunity was better, apparently, so he's going to be staying there, which is fine. I'm not too... I didn't really care too much if he came. I would have been interested because he was in the fact that they're keeping Devontae Parker. He was Devontae Parker's quarterback in college, and the best years of both of their career were when they were together. Granted, it was college, but that's where they were putting up all their big numbers. That's what got Bridgewater a first-round draft
pick. So you say they're really good when they're playing against non-professionals.
Correct, or maybe there's some kind of chemistry there where maybe there's a quarterback wide receiver chemistry thing going on there, but either way, we're not going to find out this season. Maybe we'll find out next year when one of them gets cut and maybe they both sign on to the same team. Perhaps, who knows? But Bridgewater is staying in New Orleans. The quarterback carousel in the NFL, I believe the last time we spoke, was the first domino that had fallen was Joe Flacco. A lot has happened since then. One of the things that has not happened is Ryan Tannehill getting cut or traded. I know they were trying to. I believe one of the teams that was interested, or one of the teams that I was hearing was interested, was the Washington Redskins. That was one that I would have liked to have seen him go to, but instead they decided that Case Keenum was a safer bet, and they made a trade for Case Keenum. So,
What is Keenum making? It's a lot less than Tannehill.
Don't you have it up in front of you?
I know what Tannehill's making. I don't know what Keenum's making.
I can look it up. Because they traded him, the number was I think his actual contract number was pretty high. I don't know if he renegotiated it.
Wow, Alex Smith has a $20 million cap hit, 42 in dead money.
Yeah.
Wow, that team is in such trouble.
Yeah, so they're going to be relying on Case Keenum, another quarterback that the Dolphins.
Yeah, Keenum, by the way, his cap number is $3.5 million. So that's way that I'd rather have him at 3.5 than Tannehill at anything.
Correct. Yeah, that's fair. So Keenum's in Washington. Tyrod Taylor was a Miami Dolphin supposed target, or a supposed quarterback that the Dolphins might have been interested in as a bridge. He signed with the Los Angeles Chargers.
He did today. Not. He's like, you know what? I'm not doing that bridge thing. That just doesn't work out for me. No. I just want to get paid to hold a clipboard.
Pretty much. And that's fine. Los Angeles is a great place to do that. That is a good football team. Phillip Rivers never gets hurt. So that's a great place for him to go if that's what he's truly after. Nick Foles was traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Or no. Unrestricted free agent signed by the Jacksonville Jaguars because the Eagles did not tender him or attempt to trade him. They just let him go. And I believe that takes care of that. There is the draft speculation that we'll get into shortly. But in terms of free agency, the Miami Dolphins still have Ryan Tannehill as quarterback. I believe they save more in dead money if they cut him after June 1st. There's also rumblings of them just keeping him for yet another season.
And we knew it was
didn't think it was a possibility. I really didn't think that.
I was getting to the trading him. We knew it was a super long shot. And if we could have gotten it, fine. But nobody, that salary is way too high. I mean, somebody might have taken a chance for him, but not at that salary.
Yeah. Had Bridgewater signed, I mean, the writing would have been on the wall. To me, it seems very obvious. They want to get a veteran in here at a decent cost and draft a quarterback.
One fun article when Bridgewater was hotly rumored to be coming here, because one of the Dolphins executive is in New Orleans, an ex executive,
Jeff Ireland. Yes,
yeah. So there, people were like, well, you know, then they're very well. The Saints would be interested in Tannehill if he gets cut to be the backup. They're like, nope, we have no interest in Tannehill being the backup to Drew Brees. Thank you very much.
Jeff Ireland knows. Yeah, I'm not a big Omar Kelly fan, but I did see he tweeted that, like, why would Jeff Ireland sign Ryan Tannehill after Ryan Tannehill got him fired? I was like, in fairness, I don't think that Ryan Tannehill was why Jeff Ireland got fired. I think Deion Jordan is why he got fired, but whatever terrible draft pick Jeff Ireland made. There were so many.
It's more camel's back straws type of things.
So I don't know where Tannehill ends up, honestly. Like, you know, if we're playing that speculation game, I just hope he's not the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins next year. I don't want to see it anymore. I'm done with it.
But okay, so what's left? I mean, obviously
we in free agency, not much. In free agency, what's left? My favorite of what's left
actually is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, exactly. Which we did have an email that mentions this. We're not going to get into all of the emails all at once, but since we are talking about it, I will bring up an email from...
Was it me? Did I send this email?
No. Daniel Nasser. So...
What's up, Dan?
Yeah, so he actually... He wrote a very long and but a good email about what he was hoping the Dolphins would do, and he did mention that Ryan Fitzpatrick is who he would like to see the Dolphins sign. So I think we had talked about it briefly, I think, the last time we spoke. I think he'd be fun to watch. Great locker room presence and the quintessential bridge quarterback.
Some jerk didn't actually forward me that email, so I didn't get to read Dan's email yet.
Don't you have access to our email?
I don't have the password, so it makes it really hard to read any of the emails that are in it.
All right, good to know.
But I will get the password and read that. But without knowing that, I completely agree with Dan without reading his email, because for what you just said, now that like there's some of the other like middling options are gone, Fitzmagic is fun. He might throw five picks, but he might throw five touchdowns. Like at least you go in Sunday being like, what's it going to be? Is it going to be awesome or awesomely terrible?
My only question is how well he would get along with Minka Fitzpatrick, given the whole trademark thing.
I think they'll be all right. I think they could actually do a little like deal on that. Get them both in on it.
I like it.
Be some Fitzmagics.
Fitzmagics.
Yeah.
Yeah. So outside of...
But the guy can throw... But you know what? But with Stills and Parker, that'd actually be kind of fun because the guy could throw a long ball. So
he can. I'd be okay with that. And I still am hoping that they draft a quarterback early in this draft. We'll get to the draft stuff later. Other free agent speculation involving the Miami Dolphins, not much, which I must say is it's kind of refreshing. I saw they had interest in a Tennessee Titans guard who was a starter for the Titans last year. I can't remember his first name. Austin Spain, maybe, was the guy's name. He's less of a move blocker and more of a power guy, which fits into kind of the type of offense that the Patriots run, where they don't have a lot of move offensive guys, meaning they don't run out and pull and block. They're more straight ahead, plow forward, which I'm fine with if they want to build the offensive line that way. I think Tunsil's kind of an athletic guy, but he can kind of do both. You know, his main purpose is to, you know, pass protect. He's a good run blocker. Juwan James was an excellent run blocker, and kind of not a liability in the passing game, but more of a solid pass blocker. And then Jesse Davis, who I was reading about today, actually got one of the largest pay increases due to performance.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With Davis and Tunsil, there are some pieces there on the offensive line, but there are a lot of holes that they're going to need to fill. So Spain would be a good place to start. I would like to see them draft a center, and they're going to have to get a right tackle somewhere as well. So we'll see. I don't know, but free agency, there's not a ton left in terms of like high profile offensive linemen, which is fine because you don't want to.
You don't want.
They're getting overpaid.
All of the successful teams, they get the $4 to $6 million guys. Like those are the guys, and hopefully they outperform that money. You know, obviously if they suck, you know, you don't win. But
yep, yeah. So the Patriots last year, they traded a very low round draft pick for a guy named Trent Brown, who ended up being their starting left tackle for the entire year and way overperformed. And then the Raiders
way overpaid by the Raiders,
paid him $16 million to come be their starting left tackle next year, where he will definitely not live up to that contract. He might be a solid left tackle, but at making $16 million, you have to be,
I was a
difference maker.
Yeah. I didn't realize how like out of whack that was till you really start looking at it.
I mean, Juwan James got $13 million.
Which is also right now, insane.
Again, solid player. I really liked him. I wish they would have kept him because he's young enough and he would have been a good building block for this offensive line. But,
that's the problem with free agency. If you're going for solid players, you're overpaying because you're in a bidding war. And
another former Dolphin offensive lineman, Billy Turner. Do you remember how terrible he was?
Yes.
He's been starting around the league. He got a ton of money in free agency. Like he was the first day signing. I think the Packers signed him.
Good for Billy.
Which is crazy. He was awful. I believe he was the same draft as Juwan James, if I'm not mistaken. He's the one that, was it Dan Campbell that cut him right away, or was it Gase? One of those guys was just like, he had a bad game, and he was like, they're like, that's it. Done with you. Like, we're done. Anyway, so Billy Turner moving on, another former Dolphin offensive lineman getting way overpaid.
Third round of 2014.
Yeah. So that 2014 draft was Juwan James, Jarvis Landry, Billy Turner, guys all getting paid elsewhere. Other Miami Dolphins speculation, what they're going to do in free agency, I don't think there's a lot more they can do. I'm surprised they haven't cut Robert Quinn. That suggests they're going to maybe keep him because he did get a $1.1 million bonus by not getting cut before today. So they're going to have to pay him.
I think they were trying to cut, trade him.
They were trying to trade him. Maybe they're still going to try and trade him because there's no dead money. Even if they cut him after this, then they're just, you know, they just eat that $1.1 million, which I guess isn't that bad if they can try and get a draft pick for him, but they're not going to get a high draft pick. So this, to me, this suggests they're thinking about keeping him. which, I mean, he's fine. He's not a bad player. I mean, at that rate, he doesn't translate into the 3-4 schemes they're going to want to run. I know they're running a hybrid, but...
But there will be times when you want the guy out there. But yeah, for that kind of money, do you want somebody out there just once in a while?
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, he's a... I thought he's good. I mean, he's a good player, but I don't know. I just don't see where he fits. He's still pretty young, too, so... Xavien Howard has not gotten his giant contract extension or giant contract deal. Doesn't look like they've said they're not going to trade him, so he'll be on the team. I hope they work out a deal for him.
I think the plan is to do that. I mean,
yep. Rashad Jones cannot be cut. His cap number is ridiculous if he's cut. The amount of dead money.
His dead money is $23 million. His cap hit is $17 million. So it's would you like him to play for you for $17 million, or would you like him to play for somebody else for $23 million against your cap?
Yeah. So, I guess there's always the possibility he can be traded. But you brought up an excellent point. The safety market right now is saturated. So everybody that wanted one got one.
Yeah.
Pay for
it. And there's still a bunch out there. I mean.
Yeah. So, any other speculation? I mean, Kiko Alonso is a guy that might get cut. He doesn't really fit into this 3-4 or 4-3 hybrid scheme.
And he's an over $8 million cap hit with only 3.5 in dead money. So it's definitely a target.
Yeah, he could be cut.
I'd be fine with him staying if they think he's, you know.
I like him. Yeah. I just don't think he's tried playing on 3-4s before and it was disastrous.
But we're not just 3-4. We're going to, I don't know, honestly, I don't know.
I don't know how you pay that guy, that much
I don't
money
know,
if he's going to be a situational guy.
I don't know if anyone else is able to do what Belichick does, but the Patriots would actually revamp their defense week to week.
Oh, in game.
And in game, but they would draw up a whole new game plan to exploit the weakness of the offense they were playing.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to try to do that, and I hope they can, but that might be a thing that only Belichick can do. Like,
yeah,
people are like, well, do what they do. It's not as easy as it sounds. I mean, that is hopefully, you know, maybe they learn, maybe that, you know, they've been there. I know that they don't, you know, the Patriots aren't big on letting everyone see all the pieces. It's sort of like a, like horses with blinders on, like, this is what you do, focus on that. And But you got to kind of learn what's going on in the other rooms, I would think.
Yeah. So, I mean, and we're going to finish up this free agency speculation right about now. But, I mean, we'd like to see them bring in a bridge quarterback, meaning they're going to signaling the end of the Ryan Tannehill era. And I think at least one offensive lineman to be signed for a starting position, hopefully two. On defense, I don't really think they need to. I don't think there's any like gaping holes they need to fill. I mean, they need to draft. I want to see them draft. They're gonna need some pass rushers. I mean, but if they're keeping Robert Quinn, and then I would like, you know, one of their first two picks should be on an edge guy with this the as deep as this draft is, and that's a good segue to start talking about the draft now. But draft strategy for this team, I don't think they're gonna be trading up to get a quarterback in this draft.
So I don't want them to. If one of the four falls to 13, you take them.
I don't see how you can't.
Let Greer.
But you stand pat. Like you don't
stand
trade
pat.
Up.
You don't trade up. Don't panic. Don't trade up because next year's even deeper quarterback, and we probably won't be drafting any better than we are now. So. Go in there. Let's just, yeah, I'm fine. Rank, you know, let Greer pick, you know, put the four in order and take the highest one if he's there at 13. Well, if it looks, you know, am I going to scream if the three of them are gone by 10 and they give up the third or a four, you know, and they give up a little something to jump up, you know, one or two? That's fine. But I don't want to be giving up the big packages, the future ones and another, like, then the one and two this year or something, just to move up, you know, 10 spot, 5 to 10 spots.
Agreed. So we're both in agreement. We want them to stand pat at 13 and see what happens.
Because if you don't get one of the quarterbacks, let's get a good lineman, defensive or offensive, get something good, somebody we know, you know.
Right. I just can't see it. Like, I can't see any team selling the farm to trade up for one of these quarterbacks. I don't see it. There's everybody seems set. Everybody seems to have their guy, especially with all the quarterbacks that went early last year. You know, there's no, like, even the terrible teams that are at the front of the draft, or most of the teams that drafted those quarterbacks early last year, what number one being the Arizona Cardinals, first off. But I do want to, and we'll talk about that in a second. I do want to give another one of our emailers sent in an email regarding the quarterback draft situation.
Who was it?
His name is Zach Rittering. And,
Zach, yeah. Hold on. What's up, Zach?
Thanks for the email, bud. And he wanted to know, so this was from a couple weeks ago. But he was asking who he thought we'd do better in Miami, Drew Locke or Kyler Murray. So this was before any of the Murray news had really happened. He hadn't really declared for the NFL yet. The combine hadn't happened. He didn't measure in at 5'10 at the combine. So none of those things had happened when he sent this. So it really seemed like both of them might be in play at 13. Now it seems like if they want Murray, they're probably going to have to trade up for him. But that could all be smoke, too, and we'll talk about that. But just purely, if they have a choice between the two of them, I still say Locke. I mean, I said that from before. I mean, even with – I'm not – I think Murray's going to be a fine player in the NFL. I think Locke is more
and
cut out
for And him. I think we actually talked about this, if not last time, the time before. Like we
And I'm
a
not drunk.
Guy, and you're not drunk this time. I said I might change my mind as things got closer, but I haven't yet. I'm still a Murray. I'm still swinging for the fences with Murray. The upside is too, like, holy crap. That if I had the choice, I'm taking him.
Both of those guys have tremendous upside.
Yeah, yeah.
Based off of their arm talent. I think Locke has way more arm talent than Murray does, just from a pure passing standpoint. And come to find out, Locke was actually a basketball prospect, so he's pretty athletic.
No. We want baseball players.
Okay. Well, anyway. But yeah, no, Locke seems like he's pretty
baseball players have to throw.
We've established that Drew Locke can throw the ball. Anyway. I think Haskins is probably the most polished of the quarterback.
He fits the mold, the old, especially the old mold. But I mean, honestly, I don't know. Has anyone looked more like a giant than Haskins anyway?
No, I know he's, which brings me to this point right now. Like with all the quarterback carousel that's happened. The fact that so many quarterbacks were drafted in the first round last year, everybody's pretty much set at quarterback. There is one team, the New York Giants, that is drafting ahead of the Dolphins and needs a quarterback. I can't think of anybody else that's that in need of a quarterback.
There's nobody that's that in need
that
ahead of us.
That screams they're going to be trading up.
We don't,
that's ahead of us. The Cardinals have put out, yes, the Cardinals... There's a lot of buzz around the Cardinals saying that they're going to draft Kyler Murray first.
Well, and it was with the coach. It was the stuff the coach said, like guys
stuff
said
the coach
way
said,
before
and a lot of the stuff
he
that came
was
out
the
at
coach.
The combine as well, where all the teams were like, we're pretty certain that, you know, it seems like a foregone conclusion that Kyler Murray is going to be the first pick in this draft. And that, to me, that means that Josh Rosen, who was they traded up to get Josh Rosen last year into the top 10, who was their quarterback last year. So that means they're going to, you know, if they're taking Murray first, they're going to have to trade Rosen, right?
You would think so.
Well, you don't draft, do you draft Murray and keep Rosen?
I mean,
I guess it's in the realm of possibility.
I mean, the Redskins that year drafted Cousins and RG3 in the same draft.
So
I mean,
the Cardinals drafting Murray doesn't really hurt us that much because it just means that Rosen's going to go to another team that needs a quarterback.
So
not the Miami Dolphins, because I don't want them to trade for him.
So here's, well,
from what I hear, they have no interest in that.
I don't think that. I mean, I would trade for him for like if you can get him for like a third, and then see and then whatever, and then see what happens from there. But yeah, I agree
for a third. I would trade a third.
I believe the Cardinals' interest in Murray is just to get people to trade for Murray. It's just to say like, hey, we want him. If you want this pick, you have to blow us away. I think, you know.
But that's the thing. Who's trading up to get him?
Well, the
Giants aren't going to do it.
So the Giants may not, probably.
Although, who
honestly,
knows
who,
with
the
what's
Giants,
going on with that team right now? You know, maybe they do it to try and make their fans happy. I don't know.
The buzz. If adding him with Barkley and then Golden Tate.
poor Golden Tate. I mean, I don't feel bad.
They should give him 13.
Millions. Yeah. Like, how does he, how did he even go there? Like, how would, oh, they're going to eat him alive.
Okay, no, but going back, so a team that's, they have to be ahead, the team ahead of us who, I don't see the, it doesn't make sense for the Raiders to go for a rookie quarterback.
No, not after everything they've
with
done.
With all they've done for, but.
I mean, Gruden's nuts too, but I mean, he's not
but
that crazy.
But
he also hates rookie quarterbacks.
I understand, but there's like, they still have to play a year in Oakland when, who the hell wants to go see their games when they know they're leaving? So throw in, throw in Murray and all of a sudden, you know, maybe you're getting, maybe you're just getting, maybe for the buzz of it. And then you go into Las Vegas with Murray and Antonio Brown or whatever. I'm saying it's a 30 to 40% possibility.
So what I'm saying is Drew Lock is more likely than not to be there at 13. But even with all of this craziness, like even if somebody trades up to get Murray, the Giants take Haskins. Is that, I don't see anybody trading up to get Lock, trading ahead of 13
okay.
to get Lock.
But here it is. So 10 and 11 is the Broncos and the Bengals. They don't need quarterbacks, but if they love one of those guys, they're going to take them. They're going to take them, and they're fine, whether they sit behind Flacco and who the heck is the, is it still
they cut Paxton Lynch. I don't know who their backup quarterback is.
Right.
Simeon.
I think Trevor, I know Simeon's actually a free agent because I think one of the guys that Miami can go for. Actually Osweiler too. They could just go with him.
But
I was saying, and so what do you got? You got Dalton, and they don't have the young backup. He's gone, right? He went somewhere else. McCarron went somewhere
else.
But
I think McCarron's a free agent now, too.
But I'm saying the Bengals could draft one if there's one of these guys they like. So all four could be gone before us if those two decide.
Could. Yeah, but I don't know. I think it's very, very likely that one of them is there at 13. And the one we haven't even mentioned is it Daniel Jones or David Jones? I forget. I know
oh,
I got
the guy
it wrong.
From Duke?
Yeah, I got it wrong on the last podcast. I think it's Daniel Jones. I'm going to say Daniel Jones. Anyway, I think 13 is too high for him.
Daniel?
I was right. Cool, I was wrong last time.
He's traveling tonight on a plane, actually. I don't know if you knew that.
Where?
You can see the red tail lights. They're heading to Spain.
I don't know.
You don't know? It's an Elton John song. Daniel.
Oh, okay.
Daniel.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm old, so I know these things.
Yeah, not Daniel. I was thinking Daniel Jones. I was thinking like the full name. Okay. Yeah. Speaking of old, we'll give Rob a birthday shout out because
His birthday is
on Monday.
I'm not participating this year.
We'll give you guys a free shout out if you guess how old he is via email or through Twitter. So once again, at Twitter, capital T. Blowhole at Twitter, and then our email is theblowholeradio@gmail.com if you can guess how old Rob is going to be on Monday. I am going to tell you it's a big, big number, but probably count that high.
I'll give you one hint. I was betting on the Miami Dolphins before they had Marino.
Dang, that's insane. So 70's not out of the realm of possibility for you guys. That could be. It is a big birthday for me.
Honestly, they've seen how senile I am and how bad I butcher names. So I feel some days I do feel 70.
So guess how old Rob is on Monday, and we'll get you a shout out on the show. Any other draft speculation? So what I would like to see happen, and if I was running the team, I stand pat at 13. I really do believe one of the top three is actually going to be there at 13. I'm not sure which one. In my heart of heart, I hope it's Drew Luck. Drew Lock, not Luck. Drew Lock. That's who I want. And then they have a pick in every round. They don't have multiples. I don't think there's going to be making any trades or any big moves to get any other.
So let's just before
draft picks, additional draft picks in this draft.
Before we leave this thing, because the one, and maybe you know what, we'll tackle this next time. I want to look at the teams after us who might pull a Kansas City, like with the Mahomes. Like nobody expected, there was no reason for them to draft a quarterback. Like a good team who wouldn't be wasting a first round pick. I want to see if there's any of these guys that may trade up, you know, whether it's the Steelers, right? They just lost Bell, and if there's a guy they like, do they move up and get one of these guys and let him sit a year behind Roethlisberger?
We'll look into that. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about what we think the Dolphins are going to do with the rest of the draft outside of the first round. Stay tuned! And we're back!
Woo, that sounded good!
I love these hard seltzers. All right. So, before the break, we were talking about, we think there's going to be a quarterback there at 13. If not, I'm assuming they go pass rusher at 13.
Just
given the dearth of talent in this draft at that position. Yeah. And if for some reason there is a crazy run on quarterbacks before 13, that means they're going to get tremendous value at pass rusher at 13.
I'm going to go on the record now, and I'm going to say none of those four will be. Well, maybe Jones, but I don't think he... But it's just every year, like somebody, there's always that run. It's that people go crazy, and I don't.
But nobody needs a quarterback
right now. We're gonna go through it. Maybe somebody does.
That's fine. We'll talk next week. We'll tackle that.
But my gut tells me, even though I don't see it, I still think it's gonna happen.
So let me ask you this: what do you want to happen? Because I'm on record as saying I want there to be one of those quarterbacks there so they can draft him. Would you rather have them be gone and then have them get one of like an elite pass rusher?
So I kind of want to put, I'm gonna let the universe tell me. I'm gonna put it out there, and if one of those guys is good, let him fall. If we're gonna get a better guy next year, let him not. But honestly,
that's a really weak answer.
It's terrible. Bro. I want the top three.
I don't want Jones. I think 13 is too high for Jones. I agree.
But I want the top three at 13. I mean, it's not going to be Murray, and it's not going to be Hatt. It's
Locke.
It's Locke is the only shot
we
have. And if he falls to 13, cool. I think that'd be awesome. And I would like that to happen. I would like Murray to fall to 13. I might actually like Locke more than Haskins. I don't know. Whatever. We're not getting either of them. Murray or Haskins.
All right. So what I'm asking you, like, which scenario do you want? Do you want Drew Locke or do you want an elite pass rusher? Yeah, cool. So we're in the same. All right. And you guys, share your thoughts with us as well via email. Let us know, or via Twitter, where you're leaning on which direction the Dolphins go in the first round.
And you don't have to choose elite pass rusher. You can say offensive line or whatever position.
Quarterback or anything else. I have seen mock drafts with them getting like a corner, and like I just don't understand.
That's
like
stupid.
That's the area where they like actually have depth. They have gaping
holes. And we just signed one.
Yeah, I know. They have gaping holes on offensive line and defensive line and quarterback. Those are the glaring needs, and they're going to need some linebackers.
Oh, speaking of cornerback, Tony Lippett re-signed with the Giants.
That's fantastic.
I don't know if it was the Giants. It was somebody else.
It's the Giants. I saw. Yeah, he'll make them forget all about Odell Beckham, because Tony Lippett was a wide receiver in college.
And Odell Beckham would play safety on the Hail Mary. Kind of like Gronk.
Boom.
Whoa. Hey, you guys remember that?
That was so fun. So the rest of the draft. This draft is extremely heavy on defensive line talent from everything that the prognosticators have been saying. I don't really know that much because I don't watch college football that closely. We've established that. It sounds like, and looking at the combine, there were some freak performances there from some of the defensive linemen. And that wide receiver from Mississippi, that DK Metcalf. Did you see that?
But that seems... But, I mean, honestly, it seemed like that guy that wins the combine and overdrafted.
Yeah,
but it was insane.
Because I never had heard of him before. I watched some college football, but, I mean... Anyway, that was insane. I mean, the guy's a monster, and he ran
So, see, here's a fun one. Just looking, because you said that, so I made a quick look. So, CBS Sports has a mock draft from within the last, day.
All the mocks I've seen have been ridiculous. They're silly.
So, this one has what I was saying, this has the Raiders trading up to get Murray, picking Murray first.
That's not going to happen.
I wouldn't put it in my mock. If I was betting, I think it's less likely to happen.
It's a possibility.
But I think it's a 35% possibility.
That's way too high.
I know, but that's what I say. Put a number on it.
Given everything the Raiders have done in free agency, including like the Antonio Brown, Derek Carr like love fest on social media, I would give it a 5% chance of happening.
Do you know what? I'm lowering my thing because I'm looking at the rest of this, and they actually have the Giants trading up to 3 with the Jets to take Haskins. Why the hell would they do that? That's stupid. These guys are worse than their job at me, and I'm not that good. But, oh, look, Drew Lock 10 to the Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, that is more likely to me than the Raiders trading up to get Kyler Murray.
That's going to happen.
I saw a mock draft with the Raiders taking Drew Lock at 4 or wherever they were actually picking.
Right.
Yeah, staying at 4 and drafting Drew
Lock. Oh, for Drew Lock?
Yeah, I was like, because Gruden coached him in the Senior Bowl, I was like, are you serious? But I don't, and then the Broncos are another one. I mean, they have Flacco. And they signed a bunch of free agents. So that screams win now to me. That does not scream like a team that's going to take a quarterback with the 10th pick in the draft.
But that's a quarterback of the future. It's I'm just saying it's a copycat Fair. League.
Sure.
They can do what the Chiefs took Mahomes early when they could have used another skill player and let him sit 1 year behind their guy who was better than Flacco. Right now, Alex Smith in his Chiefs year was better than Joe Flacco right now, and they still made that trade for him and did it. So
they also have, and I will say this about the Chiefs, they have Andy Reid, who's a guy who has proven
quarterback
that he can
whisper.
Develop quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The Broncos do not have that.
I'm not saying it'll be successful. I'm saying it's...
No, right. Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, like, it's not like the exact same situation.
I'm saying the Broncos, if the...
So it's not full-on copycat here.
No, but it's not full on copycat. But I think that I have the Broncos taking one of those top three as more than 50%.
Taking a quarterback at 10, the Broncos.
Yes,
any quarterback.
Top three. I don't think if the three are gone, I don't know if they do it for
sure. Well, one of the top three at 10.
And honestly, maybe it's just two. Maybe they only have two that they like, and one of them could be Locke. I'm just saying.
I'll give that a 35% chance.
You're on math day. Your math is screwed up.
I don't think so. I think that there's more. There's a higher probability that they're going to draft like a pass rusher or something that's going to help them now as opposed to a quarterback for the future. But who knows? I mean, I think it's more likely than the Raiders trading up for Kyler Murray. That's for sure.
We didn't even talk about that Odell Beckham trade.
No, we didn't. Honestly, then that was like the big, you know, and I guess it's not technically free agency news, but
it's day one of the league news.
How about that? I mean, I guess all that trade was all one trade, I guess, because it all went down.
They ended up washing away the pick swap of the other trade, too.
Oh, the Olivier Vernon trade?
Yeah, there was a pick swap in that they did away with in this trade.
Okay, so they get the Browns get Olivier Vernon and Odell Beckham Jr., who are two young
Odell is a transcendent player.
Odell's
Olivier Vernon
is
a good player,
a good pass rusher.
Probably overpaid, but not...
Definitely overpaid, yeah. But a very good player. And what do the Browns run a 3-4?
I don't know. But they gave up, what is it, Jabril Peppers?
Jabril Peppers, a starting offensive guard, a good offensive guard, too. Zeitler's right. A good guard. And then a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and that's it, right?
That's it.
Two picks, two starters... For two Pro Bowl guys.
So I'm not going to lie. My first reaction, just because I've heard the rumors of Odell being traded were like flipping around so long, I wasn't surprised by it like the rest of the country. And after like Antonio Brown, I realized totally different scenario, but after he only got like a third round pick or whatever it was, I was like, oh, you know what? I wouldn't have done it, but that's a decent haul. And the more I think about it, I'm like, my God, that's a terrible, terrible, terrible,
for the Giants?
Terrible trade.
Well, they're in burn it down mode, I guess.
I know.
But he's still young. That's the thing. Like, he's so
young. The only
young.
Thing is if you think the young quarterback you're going to bring in isn't going to be able to handle a locker room with Odell, and you want this guy to just hand the ball to Saquon, and you don't want to have to, you know, worry about him crying. I mean, you got a first and a third and a you know.
God, I think Haskins could handle that. Like, I think.
But here's the thing. But what? But like, why are you letting Landon Collins go? But then, like, I don't like
Landon Collins got overpaid. Like that's. But you're paying corner. You're paying shutdown corner money for an in the box safety, which is ridiculous.
They didn't even tender. Like, they could have tried to tender him before that. Like,
Collins?
Yeah.
I suppose. I don't know. I mean, to take the draft compensation that they're going to get for at that point, like, I mean, you'll get a third round draft pick for him.
But then they've gone and spent on other guys. Like, they've done weird things.
I agree. I'm not pretending like what the Giants have done is, I mean, you have Odell Beckham's the best wide receiver in the NFL. You have the best wide receiver in the NFL who's 26 years old. You have Saquon Barkley, who will probably be the best running back in the NFL within the next 3 years. And then you're going to get Dwayne Haskins to play quarterback, most likely. That is a very, very good foundation for an offense. Like, I don't know. I mean, you're overpaying Odell Beckham, but whatever. Like, I mean, you got to overpay some guys, especially transcendent talents that are 26 years old.
Hey, you know what that music means? We'll see you guys maybe next week, maybe the week after, but we'll be back soon.
Next week, email us.
At TBlowhole on Twitter, TheBlowholeRadio@gmail.com.
Correct. Sorry, I froze there.